Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to welcome Dr. John Townsend to the show. Dr. Townsend is a New York Times best-selling author, business consultant, leadership coach, and psychologist. He has written over 30 books, selling 10 million copies, including the Boundary series and his newest book, Leading from Your Gut, released summer of 2018. He is also the founder of the Townsend Institute for Leadership and Counseling and the Townsend Leadership Program. I am so excited today to have my friend and my favorite, one of my favorite psychologists and authors and business consultants and leadership coaches, Dr. John Townsend with us.
Good to be here, Lisa.
Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you.
I was thinking about just all the things that we could be talking about, and there are so many different subjects. As I was traveling today, I was thinking, maybe I'll just bring my top five challenges.
But you want this to be a work session.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. No, let's go on and get started. I want you to tell us a little bit about your background, about your family, just how you got from here to there and what you're doing today.
Sure. I'm originally from North Carolina, and then I moved west to go to seminary. I was at Dallas Seminary, graduated from there. I was going to be a missionary, and then things got changed in my life through a lot of processes of growth and being around some Yoda figures, and I decided I'm going to be a shrink. So then I had to go to California to go to Biola, Rosemead School of Psychology, Los Angeles, to get the doctorate. And it's there where I met my wife, Barbie, and we've been in California many years, raised the kids there. And about 25 years ago, I got into leadership, where I found out that all the principles I've been writing about with the books and boundaries and all that, they also apply to organizations, leaders, CEOs, small business owners. And so then I've been working pretty much with leaders ever since then. Barbie and I have two sons, Ricky and Benny. They are out of the house and making their own way now and successful and all that fun stuff.
That feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
To have done that.
Well, there's empty nest. And then there's off the payroll.
Right.
And I really like the other
one. You really like that one. That's great. Well, talk to me specifically, because I know that you have said that your mom and dad really, there were four of you guys, right? And they really equipped you for life. Mm-hmm. So talk about what that means, and that I think might be helpful to our listening audience.
Yeah, to talk about great leadership training, Lisa, since so much of what I study in leaders is their insides, their character. Like, skills are great, but you got to have the character. I think my parents raised four people who were pretty nice people. I mean, I have to ask my sisters about that. You know, they're all people who have great relationships, and they're finding their passions. And I think my parents kind of had a laboratory that did that. And when you look at what are called the meta studies of what creates a good person, they do these longitudinal meta studies from like birth to like 7 years old to find out what are the best parents. There's always two factors that come in. Always, it comes down to two factors in all the meta studies. And one is warmth, to be emotionally warmth and kind and affectionate and all that. And the second one is appropriate structure, discipline, boundaries, and this sort of thing. And that creates, I mean, if the family is like an oven to create a thing called an adult, that's what creates great adults. And I think my parents did a really good job of that. They were really models for me.
That's wonderful. So I'm sure that you carried that forward with your two boys, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But were there any other things that you added to that were specific to Dr. John Townsend?
Well, I would say if you look at those two as the big factors, there's a lot of subsets I added underneath those two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, warmth can also mean not only playing with your kids and being affectionate, but also listening very well.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if they have to talk about negative things, because parents sometimes go, well, don't worry about not getting on the team. Well, maybe the kids need to talk to somebody about it. So Barbie and I had a lot of active listening. And on the structure side, we were very intentional about, why are you on the planet? You got to think about this. It's a big world out there. Don't go day to day. And so what's your purpose? What are your talents? What's your big picture? So we kind of push them with the purpose idea.
So today you do a lot of business consulting and leadership coaching for leaders, correct? So how did you kind of get into that? Can you give a particular story or?
The book, I was writing a lot of books with Henry Cloud, you know, about parenting and relationships and personal growth. You know, if you went to the Barnes & Noble, we were all over the self-help world, right? But then leaders started coming and saying, I like your stuff, but you don't have anything for me. And I say, what do you mean I don't have anything for you? You say, well, look, I've got a decent marriage. My kids are okay. I don't have kids on drugs, and I'm not depressed. So you got nothing from me. And I went, yeah, you're right. So I kind of took a page out of Jim Collins's Good to Great, and I started thinking, okay, how can I apply what I've learned so much about in the science and the technology of what makes a great human being and apply it to organizations and leaderships? And the same things when you contextualize and apply it. So I began writing and speaking and doing videos about how to be a good leader who wants to be great, a good organization who goes great. And that's where all the material's been since then.
That's wonderful. Well, that kind of brings me to my next question. So, Dr. Townsend, I have one of your books with me today, Leading from Your Gut. And in there, you talk about leaders really, you know, really it's about being a better person, right?
Yes.
Can make you a better leader. Can you talk a little bit about that and talk about the observant ego?
Boy, you remember the technical stuff.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a student.
Have you ever been around a person who was not aware of the train wrecks they cause in their life? And, you know, there's people around them, there's these bodies and these carcasses, and they're going, what went wrong? They have no observing ego.
Right.
We're supposed to be able to scrutinize ourselves and say, the team meeting just happened. How did I do? Could I have done something better? So a good leader has a very strong observing ego. They're always sort of like managing, how's my impact on my company,
mm-hmm.
for good or for worse?
Right.
That's how they change. The book came from all my studies in the brain and how it comes down to two things, Lisa, that make great leaders. One is that we have to be rational. Understand objective reality, you know, numbers, KPIs, EBITDA. You've got to understand that and to be a logical, rational person.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop there because we have not only what's called a left brain, we have a right brain. And that's that intuitive, creative, passionate part. And leaders tend to kind of spend more time on the, you know, the rational, objective part, which you kind of have to. But the book's about how the great leaders, I mean the historical leaders, are really good with rational and logic and numbers, but really good with people skills and emotions as well. And that's why I talk about in the book, don't go into leadership with half a brain. Go with the whole brain.
Go in there with the whole brain. That's wonderful. Well, can you dig into that? Because it's almost like self-awareness too,
yes.
Right? So there are some specific things that you look at. You look at how you are, what, affecting other people. Can you talk if someone was trying to develop that skill more? What would you tell them? I mean, what are some of the things that they could do to really develop that
first
skill?
First and foremost, number two is not even close. Is you've got to get around some honest people and say,
great advice.
I'm not sure what my impact is on the company, and don't give me smoke and mirrors and tell me I'm the next whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me really how I'm doing, and if we walk out of the room and you've told me nothing but how great I am, this doesn't work. I need that piece that says, sometimes you don't listen, or sometimes you make excuses, or sometimes you get sort of too hard on people, or sometimes you're chaotic and you're not really structured. And so get around somebody who can give you that feedback in a nice way, but direct,
mm-hmm.
and that will, more than anything else I could say on this podcast, Lisa, that will build up an observing ego in you. Because
mm-hmm.
you begin listening to it and going, I didn't see that. You're right, I see that. And it's building up memories in your brain that when that person leaves, you're doing that function for yourself. you become a self-scrutinizing person if you're around other scrutinizing people. Mm-hmm.
I do believe that that is so important, Dr. Townsend, and I kind of call it your blind spots.
It is your blind spots.
We have blind spots, don't we? And we don't even realize maybe how we're coming across mm-hmm. to other people or how we're affecting other people with our words. Does that resonate with you? I think we have blind spots and we
As
need those
As a psychologist,
people.
When a board asks me to come in and work with a leader, the first thing I'll do is I'll find out how self-aware they are. And the ones that are saying, well, everything's great, you know, people are marvelous, I'll kind of go, is there anything else? And if they don't, I know they have blind spots they're not looking at. And it's so important. It can actually, and you don't want to be negative, but you do want to be realistic, Lisa. It can tank your career and your company if you don't handle attitude problems and that behavior problems. Blind spots are a big deal. You know, my theory about this is that if you look at the abbreviation for blind spots, it's BS, and you don't want BS in your company. So
that's right. So to have these people that are going to speak truth into your life like this requires some humility, doesn't it, on the leader's part? And sometimes, it doesn't probably always feel good when somebody says, hey, this is the way that you come across. You come across brazen or whatever the case may be, but it requires humility on the leader's part.
Yeah, and I don't go for my physical with my doctor to feel good either. But I know if I don't, there's going to be bad things happening,
right.
And I'll feel really bad. So it's kind of the surgery of growth. Mature people, let me just kind of make it harder. It's not even where you're aware of them saying things to you. We have to seek them out. We have to find out who is honest and perceptive and cares about me in the company, who will shoot straight with me. We have to find them and vet them. We don't kind of wait for it to come. The great ones are always saying, hey, how am I doing? Shoot straight with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great statement about the last 10% where they say, don't leave a meeting until somebody's had that last 10% of what really is the problem here. Is there any problem? It might be a small thing like the drapes are wrong or maybe whatever. It could be a big thing like there was an elephant in the rug and nobody talked about it. That's what the great leaders do.
Yeah, I love that. So there is a story I remember years ago sitting under your tutelage, and there is a story that I have never forgotten, and I'll be 90 years old, hopefully, and still haven't forgotten this particular story. But you were talking about sometimes that there's people in your life, it can be a child, it can be a family member, it can be an employee, and that person is really struggling. And so just talk about, it's the well story. And I want you to tell our listening audience the well story.
Well, yeah, I remember when I was speaking and you and I were talking, and I think you told me you were impacted. It was really, really fun. The gist of it, Lisa, is that my family and, like a lot of people, have other favorite families love to do stuff with, just people you get along with, and the kids like each other and all that. So we would go on vacations together. It's several families like this. And just a great time. And one of the gals of the, not my kids, but somebody else's kids, she came up to me and she said, I need to talk to you. And I said, sure, what's going on? She goes, well, I got some problems. I said, I'm sorry. So what are they? She says, well, I'm a senior in college with no job prospects. I'm a communications major, and it's kind of hard to get a job, and I'm going to be on the street in 5 months. I'm kind of panicked. I said, I'm really sorry. That's hard. She goes, well, there's something else. I said, what's the something else? She says, Spencer and I broke up. And I said, oh, my gosh, I love Spencer. We took him out to dinner. We loved the guy. We thought he was the one. I can't believe this. Our favorite guy. What happened? She goes, well, long story. It's over. And I'm just kind of a mess. And I thought he was the one, too. And I'm like, you've got a couple of bad hits here. Let's call her Erin. And she goes, well, there's something else. And I said, what else? And she says, I'm not even sure what my purpose in life is anymore. I don't even know where I belong. And I said, okay, I'm really sorry. I said, I love you, known you all your life. What can I do to help? And she says, fix my mother. And Lisa, I thought, how do we get from life problems to fix my mother? I said, what? She goes, well, let me tell you what happens. Whenever I tell her about this, she looks at me and she goes, you're a strong person and you're going to make it and go for it. And then she looks at me and I said, that's kind of lame. She goes, I know, it's really lame. So I ignore her. I said, okay, I got it. So how's your dad doing? Oh, dad and I talk all the time. I said, okay, it's not a parent problem. I'm doing my psychologist hat, right? Okay, it's a mom problem. So I grab mom. And when you're ever doing these talks, you got to be private. And you're on vacation with somebody, it's one of three places. It's either the backyard where the swing is, where you can be alone, or the third bedroom upstairs where you're by yourself, or the kitchen where everybody's eating. I thought about it. We went to the backyard with the swing. I said, we got to talk about your daughter. She said, yeah, what's up? I said, well, she's got job problems and boyfriend problems and purpose problems. And she goes, I know. And I said, and she says that when she tells you about it, that you tell her that she's strong and smart and she'll make it. She goes, I know. And I said, and she tells me that it doesn't help her. She goes, I know. I'll never forget. She goes, fix my daughter. Okay, so now I'm stuck in a two place.
Right.
So I said, what do I have to fix? She goes, well, you know, I have the talent and gift for encouragement and advice, and I'm a good encouraging advisor. I said, you're great. She goes, so fix her so she can take these nuggets of advice and encouragement and put them in, you know, you're a brain guy, put them in her brain with a hammer so that she feels better. It doesn't quite work like that. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, let me use a metaphor. Your daughter fell down a well, a 40-foot well, and it's dark and damp, and it's the well of no boyfriend and no job and no purpose, and it's awful and sad, and she's overwhelmed, and she's in a bad place, and she's at the bottom as well, don't even know what to do. And you lean over at the top of the well because you love her, and you're a leader, and you're a mom, and you look down at her, and where you are, the sun is shining, and, you know, the birds are chirping and all this, and you lean over and say, honey, you're smart, and you're a good person. You'll make it. Come on up, like Bob Barker, you know, come
right
on up. And she doesn't. Now, let me tell you what else happens, though. Your husband, good friend of mine, he looks at his daughter, y'all's daughter, and he looks over the well, and he jumps in 40 feet down, lands 40 feet down. And what he does when he lands is he picks up his daughter, and he says, it's really scary, and it's overwhelming, and it's, you don't even know what's up or down, and it's dark, and it's confusing, and I've got you. I've got you, and I'm going to get you here, and we're going to stay here till you're ready to get out, and that's why she listens to him and not you. And the mom is a smart person. She's no fool. She said, you're telling me to jump in the well, and I said, yes, I am. And she said, it's so hard for me. I'd rather encourage and give advice. I said, you have a gift, but your sequence is just wrong. Nobody can give encouragement advice that's useful until they've been in the well with somebody. We don't listen to people who don't get us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to spend your whole time there. But if you just be empathetic and draw her out about how hard it is, she's going to listen to your great advice. But I have been advised by people that didn't give a rip how I felt, and I didn't use their advice. We just are that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked in almost 6 weeks later. The young lady says, Mom and I are talking all the time, and Mom said it. We're fine. So that was the whole message, is every leader needs to learn how to get in the well. But then the postscript is, but every leader needs to ask before, who am I inviting to my well?
Mm.
Because we don't do it. We mm-hmm. provide, guide, lead, mentor, develop people. We have to have somebody in our well as well. That's what the story was about.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with Dr. John Townsend. Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about something so cool going on right now in the Nichols household. Allie, our wonderful daughter and the inspiration for Something Extra, is competing in the Dancing with the St. Louis Stars event this January. Allie will be the Something Extra for the night, and we need your help. Please go to lisagailnichols.com/vote, watch a video of Allie's story, and get all the links to vote. Each vote is $10, and you can vote as many times as you like. All of the proceeds support the Independence Center, a community-based rehabilitation program for adults with severe and persistent mental illnesses. This is a fantastic organization, and voting for Allie is a great way to support the important work they are doing. And we want Allie to win. Pause the show, go over to lisagailnichols.com/vote, and join Team Allie. So, Dr. Townsend, what do you feel like is the something extra that every leader needs?
Well, after all the other stuff we've got to have, you know, mission, vision, core values, strategy, culture, resources. The one thing that I found has been a missing piece and a something extra that makes all the difference is, it's kind of a strange word or term, is leadership vulnerability.
So can you expound on that a little bit? Tell us, what does leadership vulnerability mean?
Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron, because leadership is supposed to be strong and, you know, Superman and Wonder Woman, and vulnerability sounds not that way. But I'll tell you, I've seen it change organizations. What I mean is the habit of being able to talk about your weaknesses and your mistakes. And leaders around the country go, no, I can't do that. I've got to hide those. But there are reasons why we need to do it. And I'll give you three reasons that I've seen it transform companies. When you can admit your mistakes and your weaknesses with your people, I screwed up on the Smith account, and I was asleep at the wheel, and I'm sorry about that. Or I have not been giving you guys clarity, and I've been sort of like a seagull leader, and I haven't been giving you the clarity you need, or I haven't been listening well, or I haven't been giving you a focused vision or whatever. Three good things happen to your people that make all the difference. Number one is you develop trust. People aren't dumb. And they know if the leader's walking around with the big S Superman or the big W Wonder Woman, they can see through that and go, you're not being real. There's no trust there. Second thing is a thing called identification. Identification means we found that the research says that a leader who admits they've got feet of clay, people go, oh, you're like me. Now, like, you know, from the planet Krypton, they go, I'm not like that. That's something not me. You can't feel close to that. Mm-hmm. But if the leader says, I was not on the ball and I didn't treat people right at the team meeting, that person goes, I'm that way too. I feel identified and connected to that person. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. And the third thing is loyalty. You know what you find in any kind of a company, Lisa, where, you know, your B players will stick around forever because they need the job. Your A players who will take you to scale, there's a revolving door. And if they don't feel like you're being vulnerable and real, they find somewhere they can get that their talent expressed. So if you get loyalty and identification and trust, you win with being a vulnerable leader.
Absolutely. That certainly will increase engagement.
Increase engagement like great.
Right. Very good. So let's take the antithesis of that. Do you have a story of where that vulnerability was missing? And can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, it's a really good story. And I love your concept of something extra because we all need to know, hey, what other nugget can I put in my leadership hat here? So I love how you positioned this. So working with a company, an investment company, they were doing very well. They're managing probably $4 or $5 billion worth of assets and really good people. I mean, hardworking, strategic, smart, you know, knew what they were, subject matter experts, but they weren't engaged with each other. They kind of went into their own office and got on their desktop and did their stuff, and they come out for coffee break and say hi and go bang. Mm-hmm. Basically a siloed company.
Right. That's what I was going to say, siloed.
And the leader, though, the CEO, I'd been coaching with him for a couple of years, and he knew that there was more to life, and he kept saying, I'm not optimizing my company. I want you to take what we're talking about and our problem into bring it to my company and consult with us because we're doing well, but we're not optimized. I said, sure. So I worked it out with him that they had a team meeting. I met with them for a while and got to know them, and then we had a team meeting, and he got up, and I'll never forget it. He said, you know, I've been created this company, you know, years ago, and I love working with you guys. You're a great mission, but let me tell you on a deeper level why I'm really here. He said, I came from a family that was intact and nice people, but they weren't engaged on a vulnerable level, and they didn't really talk about real things to each other about where you're struggling and where things are hard. And we didn't talk about that. It was just mainly do well in school, be a nice person, do well in sports. And that was fine, but I really had this vacuum. And then he said, that's why I created you guys, because I needed another family where I could be real with each other. I wanted what I didn't get in my family. Mm-hmm. And got kind of emotional about how much he worked on this business and how successful it was. He said, but we're not there yet. And I've never told you how I felt about this and how important you are to me. You're very important to me, and I just kind of wanted to open up to you a bit. Could have heard a pin drop. Flat organization, maybe 18 people. So then I'm the facilitator, and I said, okay, I think Joe said some things that are very important for you guys you've never heard before. What did you guys think? Lisa, you wouldn't have believed it. A gal stood up, and she was crying. She said, well, you're the family I've never had. And another guy stood up and said, I've always thought I had to have it together, and I'm so afraid of you guys because y'all are so smart, and y'all all went and got your MBAs at Wharton, and I didn't. And I think I need to let you know that I'm intimidating you. I don't want to get to know you better. And person after person said, we're going to be a family.
Incredible.
And guess what happened to performance? Went up the roof. Because now you had that something extra of their vulnerability, the leader that cascaded down into a tribe. And it was wonderful.
I love that. Well, you know what? And I was just thinking about this, John, as you were telling that story. This is why leadership is so important. And the people that are entrusted to you, I mean, you are a steward of those people. And I'm just thinking, you have the opportunity to influence people, certainly for the business, for the better. But I bet you every one of those people went home and they were better leaders in their families because of what they're learning.
That,
you know?
That was what we got from the field study after that. That everyone I went home and said, I've always thought that I had to have my act together and not model anything that was negative at all. And I have not let you guys get to know me. And mom said that to dads, and dad said that to mom, and said to the kids, and people just went, I feel better now. We're now normal. So it cascaded from the business life into the personal
life. Into the personal life, yeah. And, I mean, that is just divine purpose, really, you know, a leader.
The funny thing, Lisa, is people always think I'll be rejected. You're going to shame me. You're going to see me in a negative light. And if somebody's crazy or judgmental, well, yeah, maybe so, but they're just jerks. But most of the people around you will go, thank you. I feel the same way, too. And it brings people closer to you. It doesn't make them go away.
Right.
It's a relationship builder, really.
I really love that. Thank you so much for sharing that story. So let's talk about real quickly before the podcast ends. I want you to tell our listeners and our listening audience, you have so many awesome things going on. And I just want you to tell them some of those things and how they can get plugged in if they're interested.
Absolutely. Well, on a plug-in, easy plug-in level, we've got now the TPRAT, Townsend Personal Relational Assessment Tool. If you like Enneagram or Myers-Briggs or StrengthFinders, I love all that stuff. We now have a way to measure how you're doing personally, how you're doing in your ability to bond and connect with people, and how good are your boundaries. I wrote a bunch of books about boundaries, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so you just go to the website and go to the TPRAT. And we also have the Townsend Leadership Program, Lisa. We're having a good time with that. You're familiar with Vistage and these other groups that do a lot of training around, in small groups, peer level around the country. Well, we have our own where we have directors all around the country, and people come in for one day a month, an intensive day for a year at a time, and with one of the directors that I personally trained, and they learn SWOT analysis, stretch goals. We do groups to help them learn about their EQ and their emotional intelligence, strategy, vision casting, homework assignments, very confidential because leaders need a place to go where they can take the leadership hat off. We're growing very quickly and got lots and lots of places around the country people can go to.
Yeah, how many different cities are you doing that in right now?
Gosh, as of this recording, we're, I think, in maybe 25 or so.
That's wonderful. Great. And so I'm sure they can find out more about that at your website.
Yep.
Right?
drtownsend.com.
drtownsend.com. Okay. Is there anything else? I mean, you've got the...
Oh, there's a bunch. Yeah. Lisa, you're giving me that I know something look. All right. Yes, there's a lot. We're really excited about our new online master's degree program, the Townsend Institute of Leadership and Counseling. Fully online, and you can get one of any three masters within a year if it's a leadership thing. A master's in organizational leadership, or a master's in executive coaching and consulting, or a master's in counseling if you like the counseling piece. And so people are getting really good jobs from it, and it's reasonably priced. You can do it at your home. But we're finding really good results because it's based on not only my material, my books, but also neuropsychology. And also I've got people coming in who are our fellows that we recruit who've been there and done that. Like, for example, I've got Greg Brenneman, who's the guy that was CEO of United and Continental for the merge. People like that who have done great things that you kind of want to aspire to. He gives you his secrets.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The Institute's really exciting for
that
us.
That is wonderful. And I know that you've said that you even dig into Drucker, you know, and, you know,
the Moses of management.
There you go.
Yeah, we draw from a lot of people as well as my material and also the neuroscience. We're finding out that you motivate and inspire people if you know what the neuroscience says about how to get their brains engaged. We train you in that.
Well, I may be signing up next week.
Oh, you'll be our top student.
All right. Well, Dr. Townsend, thank you. This has just been such a pleasure. I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know you, and I just know that your insights are going to be incredibly valuable to our listening audience.
It's great, Lisa. Thank you.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2018. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit lisagailnichols.com/somethingextra. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen.